they don't get shit.
Oh, sorry. Good start. Right, is that better?
Yep.
I'll start again. Thank you very much. Welcome to this meeting of the Plans Committee. This is the first meeting of the committee in the new council term, and I would like to welcome both new members of the committee and those who are continuing as members. And just to let you know, we'll come to apologies, but we are quorate this evening. There are a number of things I would like to remind people of before we start with the items on the agenda. Please note that this meeting is being recorded and the sound recording will be made available on the Council's website. Under the Openness of Local Government Bodies regulations, people may film or record this meeting, and this is outside the Council's control. However, people wishing to film or record the meeting should do so in a way that it does not disrupt the business of the meeting. Also, so that the meeting is not disturbed, could I ask everyone present to turn off your mobile phones or switch them to silent? We do have a system in this council that anybody's phone that goes off during a meeting, there is an immediate donation to Mayor's charity. Also, that the meeting is not disturbed. We are not expecting any fire alarm tests this evening, so if the alarms sound, please proceed to the nearest fire exits, situated at the side and to the rear of the meeting room. Toilets are available, and these can be found through the doors at the back and to the side. Thank you very much. Do we have any apologies, please?
Chair, I've had apologies from Councillors Bailey, Savage, Snart and Tillotson.
And do we have any substitutions for those? We have councillors that are here.
Yes, so the councillors who are acting as substitutes are Councillors Capleton, Howe and Murphy.
The minutes of the previous meeting are on pages 3 and 4 of your agenda pack. Can I confirm these as a correct record of the meeting held on the 25th of April? Agreed?
Agreed.
Thank you. There are no questions under Committee Procedure 12.8, so we will now move to item 4. Does anybody have any disclosures of pecuniary and or personal interest?
Councillor Forrest. The applicant, Mr. Brendan Green, is known to me in a personal capacity. I have not discussed this application with him, and I come to the meeting with an entirely open mind.
Thank you very much. Is there anybody else? No? We now move on to item 5, the planning application, which is on page 5 of your agenda pack. That's where it starts. I'm sure everybody has read it thoroughly, and there have been site visits this afternoon. Thank you. If I could go to the officer now, please.
Thank you, Chairman. The item on the agenda this evening relates to a householder scheme at 30 Leicester Road, Quorn. The application, there are three main elements to it. There's a single-storey extension to the rear of the property, a dormer in the rear roof, and a Juliet balcony to the dormer extension, and a Juliet balcony to part of the existing dwelling. Yeah, this shows the application site, which is on the northern side of Leicester Road. It's one of a number of terraced houses that back onto the old millworks. For members' information, it's within the settlement limits to Quorn. It's also within the Quorn conservation area. And the conservation area excludes some of the newer dwellings on the southern side, the opposite side of Leicester Road, but the application site itself is within the Quorn conservation area. There's an aerial view, and you'll see the block of houses with the old works to the rear. This is the house on the street frontage. Just for clarification, when the application was first submitted, and it's something which is referred to in representations, it was originally proposed that there would be a porch over the front door at the front of the property. Just to be clear, and it does state it in the report, that element has now been removed from the application, so the porch is no longer part of the proposal. But nevertheless, because representations were made on that aspect of it, it does feature in the report. Again, that's a close-up of the front of the property, which, again, will not be altered. This is the rear of the application site. There's a downstairs living room, a bedroom, and on the outrigger at the back, that's the bathroom. And it's the bathroom window there, and we'll see the drawings in a moment, which it is proposed would be increased in depth and would have a Juliet balcony formed on it. This is the roof here. And we'll see the drawings in a moment, where it's proposed to put a dormer in to accommodate a third bedroom in the roof. And again, that would have a Juliet balcony on it. These are the neighbours. This is number 28, Leicester Road. And this is number 32, Leicester Road. And 32 Leicester Road has living accommodation down here. This is the boundary fence between number 32 and number 30, which is the application site, and the reference in the application refers to the impact upon residential amenity, which is principally the impact upon number 32, but we'll come back to that in a moment. And this is the rear garden of the application site, which, similar to all its neighbours, is little more than a yard, but it's a reasonable little yard at the back of those properties. This is the existing elevations of the property. The ground floor layout is a front room, a back room, a staircase in the centre, and a kitchen at the rear. And upstairs there are two bedrooms with a bathroom in the outrigger at the rear. What is proposed, if we look at the front first of all, and as I explained, there is no alteration to the front. The porch is now gone. However, the front... The building is in the conservation area, and this is the front elevation looking out over Leicester Road. It's proposed that to provide light and ventilation for the new rooms in the roof, there would be a couple of conservation roof lights in that front elevation. So as far as the front elevation is concerned, it would be as it is now, except there will be two conservation roof lights put in that elevation. And if members are minded to approve it, this condition 5 talks about how those details would be considered. This is the side elevation, so we've got the dormer window coming out, again in materials to match the existing. You can just see the Juliet balcony there. And then at the rear, there is a lean-to element to a single-storey extension, and then a flat-roofed element with a fascia there. And for those members who are on site, this is similar to the flat roof and fascia next door at number, I think it's 28, the one that was overlooking it in the yard. What I would emphasise is that the extensions, which we see here, and we'll go back to those in a moment, don't extend any further than the existing building. So it's going no further into the garden than the existing buildings. What is proposed is, in effect, that yard area would be filled in, and it would provide ground floor living accommodation for the property. On the first floor, as I said, there'd be the Juliet balcony into the bathroom, a new staircase to provide a third bedroom and a bathroom in the roof space. And in terms of how this would look, this is the rear elevation looking into the garden of this property and the neighbouring properties. So there's the Juliet balcony to the bathroom, a flat-roofed extension, but again, extending no further into the garden than the existing flat-roofed extension, and bifold doors leading into the garden. This is from the opposite neighbour's view, so the parapet wall which defines that boundary would be retained exactly as it is now, and a flat roof would come off that, and then the roof nearer to the house as a single aspect lean-to roof. So if I show that in the... So what we've got here on the floor plan is that area there has the lean-to roof, and the large extension or the large part of the extension has a flat roof, and this is the parapet wall with the neighbours. The things for members to consider with this application is design and impact upon the character and appearance of the street scene. So we've seen what's happening at the front. In terms of the character and appearance of the rear, so it's to consider what members think about the extensions to the rear. There's also the issue of residential amenity. We've had representations from neighbours, and members need to consider the impact upon the neighbours to both the left and the right hand side. There is also heritage assets. As I said, the site is in the Corn Conservation Area, but it's felt there'd be no harm to the heritage asset, because all that's happening at the front of the property are a couple of fairly modest roof lights. In terms of highway safety, there have been representations in terms of parking and access. The property at present has no off-street parking, as is typical with a property of this era. But the third bedroom would make no difference to the parking arrangements. A two-bedroom property requires two parking spaces, so at present there's a shortfall of two parking spaces in effect. By adding a third bedroom, the parking requirement is still two parking spaces. So in terms of highway safety, there is no impact upon highway safety. There's a deficiency now. That deficiency is not increased by the introduction of a third bedroom. And the recommendation is that Planning Commission should be granted, as set out in the report. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you very much. And we now have a number of speakers. Just before I call the first speaker, I'd like to explain the system that we're going to use tonight. Each speaker has 5 minutes, and it's a traffic light system. So you start with green, when it gets to amber, there's 1 minute left, and then to red, you will be stopped, even, I'm afraid, if you're in mid-sentence or mid-flow. What we're going to do tonight, when there is 1 minute left for you, I shall do that so that you won't be disturbed so much, but if you keep an eye on the traffic light system as well. Right, we now have Mrs. Deborah Mays or Mr. Andrew Griffiths. Is it Mr. Andrew Griffiths? Thank you, Mr. Griffiths. So you're quite happy with the explanation for the system. Thank you.
Okay, it's working. Everybody hear me? Good. So thank you, Madam Chairman. Our concerns regarding these proposals relate to the negative consequences they will have upon the enjoyment and amenity of neighbouring properties, and in particular the adverse impacts they will have on the privacy, light and noise in the living spaces, which are principally to the rear of the properties. We understand the Borough Council recognises the need to protect neighbours of residential development proposals. Indeed, national planning guidance that deals specifically with loss of privacy, overlooking and loss of light is acknowledged in the officer's report, together with the fact that these proposals are contrary to that guidance. Further, we believe that the scale and nature of the proposals are also contrary to the policies of the Charnwood Local Plan. Policy CS2, High Quality Design of the Local Plan Core Strategy, requires new developments to respect and enhance the character of the area, having regard to scale, density, massing, height, landscape, layout, materials and access arrangements. We would contend that these proposals fail to protect the amenity of the people who live nearby. We believe the proposed development is also in conflict with Charnwood's supplementary planning guidance, house extensions, covering the impact on neighbours, including sunlight and daylight. This states that a single-storey extension along a common boundary with a semi-detached house is likely to be acceptable where it does not exceed 2.5 metres in length. Any extension greater in length will need very careful consideration. We would contend that numbers 30 and 32 Leicester Road, given their physical relationship, should be viewed in this context, and clearly the extension proposed here would considerably exceed this length. We are very concerned about the impact on the light to the dining room of number 32 and the corridor effect and extension of this scale would create. The officer's report, noting the guidance, comments that it is only guidance. But I would ask, if this is confirmed and adopted council guidance, and if it is, why would it not be followed in this case? Given the depth and quantum of policy, both national and local, that these proposals contradict, we find the conclusions of the officer's report very difficult to reconcile. The report makes two major points in support of the recommendation to approve the application. That a proportion of this extension would fall under permitted development rights in any case, 3 metres of the total 6.6 metres, and that any permitted development would have a similar impact upon the kitchen windows and number 32, and that the increased height of the extension above the boundary fence, a further 600 millimetres, would not have a substantial effect on the dining room and kitchen of number 32. We strongly disagree with those conclusions. We note the officer's report specifically acknowledges that the current distance from the kitchen window, with the existing fence at 2 metres high, does not meet current design criteria. I therefore simply can't grasp why it's then acceptable to exacerbate the impact on the dining room and kitchen, the principal living spaces, by in effect taking the height of the boundary up by a further 600 millimetres and hugely increasing the enclosed or corridor effect by a 6.6 metre length extension. From the dining room window in particular, this is a room which currently does not receive adequate light anyway. The planning report contends that the impact of the increased height will be reduced by the slight setback to the fence line. This is at best marginal. The setback is enough to allow the existing fence to remain, and as a consequence, it represents no real softening of the impact of the additional height to that boundary, or any lessening of the corridor effect it will create. The planning report further considers that the new Juliet balcony in the rear dormer would not cause any greater overlooking loss of privacy than the standard window. That may be the case, but surely what is relevant here to any increase in overlooking is that there is not currently any rear-facing windows at this level. The fact that there will now be a full-height opening window at this new dormer level, balcony or no balcony, is the key point on whether there's any increased loss of privacy. We have a specific concern relating to increased noise penetration. Noise already is a major issue through the single skin dividing walls throughout the properties. The designs for an open plan arrangement, removing walls between rooms, will only serve to enhance the noise penetration to neighbouring properties with a bigger sound box and less internal baffling. We would submit that there are very solid grounds to reject this application because of its substantial conflict with adopted planning policy, a view that we sincerely hope members will be able to support. Thank you.
Thank you. Could you just turn the speaker off, please? Thank you very much. Our next speaker is Mr. Brendan Green. You're happy with the system, Mr. Green, of the timing? That's it.
I'm just going to speak just off the cuff. So.
Thank you very much.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, great. I've lived in Corn the best part of 20 years. And in that time, I've met some fantastic friends and people that I love very much. I bought the house in 1997. I've bought the house for 46,000, I think it was, or something, 48,000, which was fantastic for me. In that time, I've used that house nearly three times to remortgage, especially on my business, which my father or my late father used to be involved with, which was M&B Print or Charmwood Print. In that time of being in Corn, my grandparents who lived in Corn used to take my granddad down the pub, and it was just a real great sort of feeling of family. As I say, I've lived in the house for 20-odd years, and I've never had the opportunity or investment to put into the house. And to put these proposals forward means a lot to me and my partner, Danny, because two or three years ago, my mother passed away with cancer and was terminal, and then my father passed away a few hours after that. And we had a problem with it. We had to had the house at 21 Story Road, and we were able to invest and put that house together and sell it on the market. And both myself and my brother took money from that, and that's where the money would come from for us to actually do the investment. I believe that the property would look fantastic, would be amazing to look at. I think at the moment, for the last 10, 15 years, I've not able to have the funds there to actually do this investment, and I hope really that I'll be able to put that investment into the actual property, because it needs it. It needs a bit of love and care and a bit of TLC, and I feel that I understand their reservations, but we all live on the same street, and I would like to think that in the area that we actually are, that all the houses and all the community could get together to put this proposal forward. As Stephen Holmes actually knows, that the back of the property has a raised timber sort of area which would go down, so that wouldn't that wouldn't be there, so it would be on flat ground, the house, so there wouldn't be a raised patio area where we'd be able to see over at the back. And the Juliet balcony is really, if I'm completely honest, it's just for our point of view, it's aesthetic. It looks fantastic on the back. It's not as though we're going to be sitting out there with our bathrobes and sipping Prosecco or something. So, you know, that's really what I've got to say. I just hope that I'd like to make my mum and dad proud, and I sure would love to them to have seen what we're hoping to do. That's it. It's okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Oh, sorry.
Councillor Jane Hunt, ward councillor. Together, Councillor Shepherd, you're just observing and supporting, are you, tonight? Thank you very much. You're familiar with the system we're using tonight, Councillor Hunt?
I am indeed.
Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chairman, councillors. Page 9 of the Supplementary Planning Guidance on Housing Extensions states that extensions need to be designed to provide and maintain adequate light to both the property to be extended and neighbouring properties, that sunlight and daylight are essential to the enjoyment of living, and the Council will grant planning permission for home extensions only where the proposal will not result in a substantial loss of sunlight to main rooms or the private gardens of adjoining dwellings. The report of officers states two important elements on page 10, second paragraph, under impact on amenity. It is acknowledged that the proposal would not conform with the relevant space standards as set out within the leading in design guidance and not conform with the 45 degree rule. The officer states that this is guidance only, but it is guidance that we as a council have chosen to adopt and use in this borough. The next paragraph states that the fence does not meet the standard either. It is the dining room at number 32 in particular that I am concerned about, although I think it may have some impact on the kitchen and garden also. There is potential loss of solar heat also, I would suggest. These are relatively small back gardens with a blank factory wall immediately at the end of the garden. The opportunity to gain light in this property is already limited before this application is considered. The SPG also states that a single-storey extension along a common boundary with a semi-detached house is likely to be acceptable where it does not exceed 2.5 metres in length. The proposed extension is 6.62 metres in length for number 32. It goes on to say, particular care needs to be taken to avoid creating a tunnel effect. Given the position of the proposed extension, coupled with the factory building directly to the rear of the gardens, I would suggest that a tunnel effect is proposed here, giving an overbearing impact on the surrounding properties. Looking now at the proposed windows and referring to the SPG again, it states, In general, keep any dormer windows and roof lights to those areas which are most difficult to see. There are two proposed roof lights to the front of the property, which I would suggest may detract from the balance of the two central properties in the group of four in this conservation area. This was the argument I used in requesting that the porch be removed from the application, and this was kindly agreed to. And referring to the dormer window to the rear, the SPG states, if dormers are used, they should be as small as possible. I would suggest that this is a large dormer window in relation to the rest of the property. The plan suggests that the apex of the dormer is in line with the existing roof line. Should this planning application go ahead, please could it be included in the conditions so that the dormer does not exceed the current ridge line and therefore perhaps be seen from the street. Finally, permanent noise, which is a planning matter. All four of these properties were built together and are essentially one single building. The walls between the properties are the same as the walls between the rooms within a single property. Noise carries through from one home to the next. The residents here, for example, when their next-door neighbour has contracted a cough and cold. I understand that all the external pipe and sewage to these properties is to the rear, but the proposed new bathroom is towards the front of the property. I would suggest that there will be noise issues if some kind of pump or macerator is used to deal with the water feed and sewage to this bathroom. Should this application be approved, please could you also add a condition to ensure that there is no rain runoff from the new roof onto either property at number 28 or number 32. On page 10 and 11 of the council report, the officer states, on balance, the development would be acceptable. I would suggest that this is not the case, given the space and light issues in this small plot. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Do we have anyone wishing to speak to this? Councillor Grimley.
Thank you, Chair. I'll just kick off on a couple points, pick up a few items. There's talk about the length of the extension. My understanding from the presentation, it's no longer than the existing. I think that's correct. Perhaps the officer could confirm that. I think it is just a change in the width there. Other comments about the supplementary guidance on house extensions. I just want to know, is that still the old guide and how much sort of weight we do put on that? Although I'm quite keen to see it in place. So there's mention about the ridge height to the dormer. I thought that was lower than the existing house, but if they could just put up the picture, I can have another look at that. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman. Yes, I mean to answer those questions in reverse order. On the basis of the drawings, it would appear that the ridge of the dormer is at about the same height as the main ridge on the house. So it may be a fraction under, certainly no higher. But I'd say it looks about the same height. So at this stage, I'm assuming that the ridge on the dormer is the same height as the main house. In terms of the SPG. That is quite dated guidance. I think as the report sets out, some of the rules that have changed, particularly permitted development rights, mean that some of the things where we would seek to control them, we can't control because permitted development allows those to occur. So much of the guidance is out of date because it's been superseded by the change in permitted development rights. But nevertheless, it is still guidance that we use, but in on that basis. In terms of the length of the extension, Yes, it is over 6 metres, but that's exactly the same length as the existing. Sorry about that.
So the extension. The extension is wider than the existing. I think when I was on site today, I explained to members that it was filling in this side yard area, so it is wider, and as we explained, is bringing it nearer to the neighbour. There's no denying that. But in terms of the length of the extension, it is no longer than the existing single-storey outrigger that is at the back of the house.
Thank you. Councillor Tassel.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Can you give us some sort of assurance that there won't be any rainwater runoff off the new roof onto the two properties either side, which was brought up by Councillor Hunt's speech? Is there going to be adequate guttering or adequate drainage off that roof so that it doesn't go onto the other property? Can you clarify that for me, please?
Thank you.
I mean, the roofs are drained into guttering, and that guttering would go into the existing drainage systems. And I assume with an older property like this, they're probably going to be combined systems. So, yes, there are existing drains, and there is no reason why the rainwater runoff from these new extensions, the roofs of these extensions, should go anywhere other than the existing drains. And again, that's something that, whilst it's not a condition of the planning permission, would be a requirement of the building regulation. So that is something that will be dealt with by other legislation.
Councillor Lowe.
Thank you, Chair. A few questions. I think the balcony, the flat roof on the top has been covered. It is going to be slightly lower or the same height, so you won't see it from the road, will you? That's one, and I think you've covered that. The other one was the flat roof on with the Juliet balcony, you know, the lower one, the one to the bathroom. Could we put a condition on there that you're not allowed on that roof? Because we have had it in the past where people have used a Juliet balcony and then opened it up and people have decided to put deck chairs and things on their flat roofs, which obviously would be then looking over to the other properties. And also, just one more thing, Chair. I'm sure I'm right, that a vast majority of this could be done under permitted development. So there's two and a half questions there, Chair.
Thank you, Chairman. I'll answer the Councillor's question in the order they were raised. First of all, in terms of the dormer being seen from the road, as we've said now, it's at about the same height of the ridge of the main house, so you're not going to see it from the road. So far as the use of the flat roof is concerned, condition number 3 addresses that, so we were mindful of that being something that could occur. I mean, realistically, whether someone would step over a Juliet balcony onto a flat roof, I don't know, but so far as planning is concerned, there's a condition saying that should not occur. And the third one, in terms of permitted development, then yes, much of these works would be permitted development, particularly the point we've emphasised several times, which is the extension at the rear could extend by 3 metres, which is the most critical point so far as the relationship with the neighbour is concerned. So that's why, on balance, we felt it was acceptable, because much of the filling in of the area between the two properties could be constructed under permitted development rights.
Whilst I fully respect and understand the objectors' point of view and the two councillors that have made representation, I feel that we can't turn this down. So therefore, I would go along with officer's recommendation, Chair.
Thank you very much. Councillor Capleton.
Yes, thank you, Chair. I'm struggling a little bit with the talk about the lights, obstructing the light to number 32. As I remember it, I think the road, the Leicester Road, now runs very approximately north-south. So therefore, if you sit at the back of, say, number 30, and you look out, there's the factory. But that must be facing east. So the sun comes up over the factory. It then moves around towards the south. So this extension is never going to be between the sun and number 32. So I really must dismiss that objection. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Councillor Grandison.
Thank you, Chair. The one thing I would like a condition, and noted as the condition lady really on plans, the bathroom where the Juliet balcony is, it actually, is there a possibility that to have obscured glass put in there?
Just the officers are just consulting each other.
I think we'd have to ask members in terms of applying condition, the test of a condition, why members thought it was reasonable and necessary. So if members gave us a reason why they thought it was reasonable and necessary, then yeah, it may be something we could apply as a condition.
Anybody got any reasons to put forward for obscured glass at the rear window at an upper level?
Because it's a bathroom. I know it's a bathroom. Is it? I thought it was going to... I've got it as a bathroom, the one with the...
It is a bathroom, so if members' concerns are that the reason is it's for privacy...
Yeah, but I'm going to look at it. Sorry. Sorry.
Yeah.
Can I just clarify? You're not talking about overlooking of the neighbours, you're thinking about the privacy of the occupiers of the application site...
Could you use your speaker, please?
They can't see in, they can't see out. Yes. Do you get them getting? They can't, people can't see into the property. Do you understand where I'm coming? Because you've got a flat roof. I also would actually maybe put another condition on that, in case of the actual window on that. It is going to be a bathroom, that on the one at the back. Yes.
First floor window. The plans indicate it's going to be a bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, views out of that window, because it's on the outrigger, are going to be of the rear gardens.
Yes.
The very ends of them,
yes.
Not the immediate rear back mm-hmm. door areas.
Yeah.
But the plans indicate it's going to be a bathroom, yes. Yeah.
Yes. I'm just thinking of privacy for all parties, personally.
Thank you. Councillor Forrest.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, I would just like clarification on two points, please. When we were on site today, we stood at the front of the property and Mr. Reid and Ms. Jackson pointed out that there would be a kind of velux window at the front of the property, and I believe Ms. Jackson said they were called conservation windows. Yes, what I really want to say is, could you give us a little more detail about those, please? And my second question is about parking. And do I understand that row of cottages would all rely on the street parking that is currently there? There are no designated parking spaces for individual properties. Please.
Thank you, Chairman. Yes, Councillor. In terms of the roof lights, yes, the two roof lights proposed in the front of the dwelling. First of all, we would suggest there should be conservation roof lights, and what we've got is condition number 5, that should permission be granted, those details should be submitted to us. But what a conservation roof light is that it's... doesn't sound quite so proud of the roof line as a conventional roof light. Many of you will have seen Velux roof lights or others that have got quite a chunky surround and are raised quite a way above the roof plane. A conservation roof light is generally, first of all, they're smaller because you didn't have massive roof lights on older properties, and their profile in terms of the roof is much lower. So it's a product made by Velux and others, I'm sure, and it's conservation roof light because it meets modern standards of light, ventilation and insulation, but designed in such a way that it protrudes over the plane of the roof by as little as possible. So we've got a condition 5 that, should members be minded to grant permission, we can assess those details and ensure that those roof lights are as unobtrusive as possible. So that's the roof lights. As far as parking is concerned, so far as I'm aware, there's no designation or resident parking scheme there, so it's on a first-come, first-served basis. So at present, this is a two-bedroom dwelling, although an historic one, and if we were to apply our parking standards, it would require 2 parking spaces. But as with many older properties on a road frontage without parking, clearly there is no parking. The addition of a 3rd bedroom does not increase the demand for parking, so a 2-bedroom property requires 2 spaces. in terms of our standard, a three-bedroom property requires two spaces. So in terms of the impact upon highway safety and the demand for parking spaces, that situation is not altered by this proposal.
Thank you for that. May I say then that if we do agree to this application, we do follow the officer's advice and put in the condition about the conservation roof lights, please.
Thank you very much, Councillor Forrest. I think the officer did say that it is mentioned under condition 5 in your report, the top of page 14. I think that explains it, that they have to provide those. But if you wanted the words to conservation standard, I'm sure the officers would be able to sort some technical wording that would might meet your requirement. Councillor Tassel, did you want to come back?
Yes, I'm still confused because they're putting a larger window, longer window in a bathroom with a Juliet balcony. Is it going to be a two-bedroom house then? Because they're also having a new bedroom in the roof, in the new dormer roof space. Am I getting totally confused over it?
Thank you, Councillor. Yes, I think you are slightly confused, but I'm sure the officer will explain. Is it not already a bathroom? The one that's going to have
it
it's being modernised is already
a two-bedroom with a bathroom. Sorry, it's the property is already a two-bedroomed terraced house with a bathroom on the outrigger at the rear. So that room at the rear is already a bathroom, and the room in the roof would be a third bedroom with an ensuite bathroom. So what we would have would be a three-bedroomed house with a bathroom and an ensuite bathroom.
Does that clarify it for you, please? The bathroom with the Juliet balcony should have obscured glass. Is that something we would put in as an advice note or as an absolute condition? Thank you very much.
If members were minded to think that it was necessary to make the application acceptable and meet the tests set out in the planning policy framework, then it should be a condition. If it's something that you would like but it's not necessary, then that's when it becomes an informative and members need to make that decision, and if they want to add it, that's fine, providing you're content it meets those tests, so it's necessary for this development to be acceptable, and the reasons given so far is for the protection of privacy, and so that's the reasons given so far.
Thank you. Did you want to come back, Councillor Tassel?
Sorry about this, but those windows are long down to the floor, and they're opening windows. Looking at the drawing, so what's the point in having obscure windows when you can sit with your windows wide open? Can we not make it that they don't go wide open? You can sit there in the bath and look at the view, which is a factory, I know, but they open, and there's the drawing of it, right down to the floor.
I think members need to be careful that we're not straying into personal preferences, what you would like in your bathroom. Obviously, we have to consider the application in front of us. The windows can open, but obviously if you were in the bathroom, they might not be open. So for the majority of the time, they'll be closed. If you think for the majority of the time they should be obscure glaze, then that's fine. I honestly would err against making them non-opening for the simple reason is unless you were stood right at the window, if you were stood back in the room or in the bath, the only views you'd get is of the factory wall at the bottom. You can't look round corners into neighbouring properties' windows from back in the room.
All right. Okay, and now we've had a proposal and a seconder to accept officer's recommendation. Councillor
Hello, did you want to add another condition, or are you quite happy with the work that's...
I personally feel we don't need to add it as a condition. If the committee's in acceptance, we could just add it as a note, that it was noted. But I don't think we need to add it as a condition.
Thank you very much. So the proposal is that we approve this application as per the recommendations, officers' recommendations, as per on page 13 and 14 for the reasons given. Is that agreed? All those, please show.
Chair, can I just...
Yes.
So to get this sort of procedurally spot on, Councillor Lowe proposed that we move officer recommendations. He's also suggested that an additional informative be added. The protocol is to ask the person who seconded the motion to also say whether they're happy with that, and I believe that was Councillor Tassel.
Thank you. Are you?
Yes, I'm perfectly happy with that, thank you.
So then the proposal that the committee is being asked to vote on is officer recommendations plus an additional informative regarding the desirability of having that particular window obscure glazed.
Agreed? All those in favour? That's unanimous. Thank you very much. Thank you. We now move on to item 6, which is the list of applications determined under delegated powers, and that starts on page 16. Would you like sort of to hold our breath for a few minutes if people want to leave? Right, this is the delegated planning decisions made by the Borough Council since the last plans meeting. So it starts on page 16. There's quite a few pages here. I presume everybody has read them and digested them. Do you have any points or comments to make on this, on any of them? No? We did have a small, informal, no monetary bet at what time this meeting would finish.